Today we celebrate the feast of a great saint whose prime example to all of us is her perseverance in prayer, especially when it seemed like her prayers were not being heard. And it is, of course, a feast of the mother of Saint Augustine of Hippo, Saint Monica of Hippo. She was born at the beginning of the 4th century, and when she was still young, she was given in marriage to a man who was a pagan. And she hoped that she would convert him, which eventually she did, but not for many, many years. And his mother, was still alive. She was a widow. Both of them had a horrible, horrible temper and were always fighting with each other and also yelling and fighting with St. Monica. And St. Monica tried to be peaceful and to keep it all to herself and offer up all these horrible sufferings. In the meantime, the husband Patricius had three children, Navigius and Perpetua and Augustine. And the husband would not allow any of them to be baptized. So she suffered and suffered and suffered. Of course, this is something that is unusual terms. It's not good, it's not allowed, it's not permissible. When a Catholic marries a non-Catholic, first of all, they need permission from the bishop, and then that permission is given only on the condition that the person who is not Catholic promises that if any children are born of this union, that they will all be baptized and raised Catholics. It is a very difficult situation, and that's why the Church forbids it and requires the permission of the bishop for those cases, which I'm sure they obtained. At that time, already there were those laws. So the children grew up as well as they could, but she privately, behind their backs, taught them as much as she could about the Catholic faith. Eventually then, just a few weeks before his death, St. Monica was able to convert her husband, Patricius, and when he converted, then his mother converted, and then he died. We don't know anything more about the mother-in-law. I don't even know her name, but that's okay. Nevertheless, at least St. Monica's prayers and her many, many tears were able to bring about the conversion of these two individuals to begin with. At that time, the two other children, Navigius and Perpetua, became Catholics, and eventually both of them entered the religious life, which already existed. And this is very early in the 4th century of the Church. The one that was real difficult was the son that would become the most famous, St. Augustine. And he eventually was baptized, but he was baptized a heretic, a Manichaean. And Manichaeans are similar to Albigensians, and they're very similar to some of the Protestant sects that are around today, like the Presbyterians and so forth. And so this caused even more grief to poor St. Monica. Eventually, however, she was able to send him to school in Carthage and then also to Rome. She then joined him in Rome and went with him to visit one of the greatest orators of the time, because he was studying rhetoric. At this point, he was not even a Catholic, so much less would he study anything else. So rhetoric, the art of speaking, something which is very lacking in today's world as well. And he then heard of, and she found out about this bishop in northern Italy, who was the Archbishop of Milan, St. Ambrose. And so she took him to St. Ambrose. And after several months, St. Ambrose converted him. I'm sure they had many, many rhetorical arguments, one with the other. And he finally converted him and baptized him. And of course, the rest is history. Not long after this, St. Monica decided to go back to Africa, to Hippo, and she was in the port city of Ostia, which is still the port city of Rome, and there she died, and St. Augustine tells us all about it in his Confessions, which are very, very beautiful. St. Monica, and by this time, the church, of course, had the fullness of the faith. And one of the things that the church believed in and the Catholics of the day believed in was purgatory. And among the customs that had arisen, perhaps with some of the mixture of the still the pagans that were around them, is that as they prayed for the dead, they would go to the cemeteries and they would have picnics in the cemeteries. And then they would take baskets of food to the dead. St. Augustine talked her into stopping that practice, and instead of food, to give the food to the poor and to pray and offer prayers for the souls of the faithful departed. And so when she died, she left the instructions that they did not have to take her back to Africa, that they could bury her right there in Ostia. And as long as they... And remember, Navigius had become a priest too, a religious, and St. Augustine already had become a priest, that they should offer the holy sacrifice at the altar of God for her soul. So basically the same thing that we do today. Eventually, her body, which was buried in the church of one of the saints, the local saints, St. Aura of Ostia, was later on moved by Pope Martin V to Rome, where a beautiful basilica was made in the honor of St. Augustine and St. Monica, and where both of them lie not too far from each other today. And so today we honor this very, very powerful teacher of prayer and the perseverance at prayer. That we must not give up, we must not give in when things seem to be going bad. We must continue to persevere in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.